You are listening to an Emmanuel Community Church podcast. For more sermons or information about the church, visit our website at www.emmanuelcommunity.org.
Believe it or not, sometimes I can be hard to love. I know, it's hard to believe. I know, but it's true. Let me give you an example from when I was in college. When I was in college, I was part of a musical theater troupe called Doc Rainbow's Colorful All-Star Review. Yeah, some of you might have heard of it. Woo! Yeah, I did 3 summers in a row. So the first summer was the one on your left. And that meant I was a part of a group, 12 of us, in a 15-passenger van pulling a trailer across the Midwest, going mostly to small churches every single night. We did 50 shows in 60 days. Yes, exactly. And that meant that almost every night that first year, I wore a hat like this. Yeah. Before the show, my job was production. That meant that I got to set up the theater lights. And that meant that I basically was blowing electrical circuits in small churches across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan every single night. 50 shows in 60 days. Pow, 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 pow. Yeah. After the show, we had to take down the lights, fold up the set, put it in the rolling boxes, move it out, pack it in the trailer, and get ready for the next morning when we would go to the next church. And here's something you need to know about me. When it came to packing up the trailer, I had one speed, turbo mode. That's what they called it, turbo mode. I wasn't trying to be rude. I wasn't trying to run anybody over. I just had a mission. I wanted to get that trailer packed yesterday. So it was take down the lights, fold up the set, get the rolling boxes out to the trailer, pack them in the trailer, and get her done. The problem was people kept getting in my way. At least that's how it felt. And then one day, the tour manager friend pulled me aside and he said, "Sam, sometimes you can be hard to live with." And I was offended. I thought, I might be the most lovable guy I know. And then once I cooled down, I realized that maybe he was right. Maybe I was not as loving as I thought I was. And that was hard. That was awkward, right? I think for all of us, like, we might not be as loving as we think we are. Another way to think about it, we'll come to this at the end of the message. Another way to think about it is that if someone was going to follow you around this week, would they believe that you know and love God by the way that you love one another? That's a hard question. But I think that's what John wants us to see in John 4. Sam, love doesn't start with you. Love doesn't start with you. And if you want to know what love looks like, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. That's what John wants us to see in John 4. And I think you're in the right place this morning. As we dig into that hard question, you're in the right place as we begin a series called Living in Confidence. If you've been with us at the beginning of the summer, we started this study of 1 John. And so we had a series called Living in the Light. And we broke it down. We said, hey, Jesus is the light. We are called to live in the light, to be authentic. So live in the light. That was that series. And then we had another series called Living in the Tension. We have different tensions. If you were here last week, you heard Pastor Mark talk about the tension of false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist, and how it tends to twist, distort our understanding of who Jesus is, of what he says, and of what he did. It changes that. So there's tension there. And now we're going to begin a 4-week series called Living in Confidence. Living in confidence. And so we're going to see that we're called to know God. And by know, we don't mean like head knowledge. Like I know the right things. No, relationally, We're called to know God and then to love one another. And to do that by living in confidence. The question is, how do you do that, right? Glad you asked. We're going to unpack that through this four-week series as we talk about living in confidence. Oh, by the way, you want to come next week? Next week, Pastor Josh is going to be here preaching in person for the first time in a number of months. Yeah. If you're new here, just happen to know, Josh, he had a minor stroke, and God has been so faithful. He's gone through healing, and he's going to be back next week. So you don't want to miss it. Next week, we continue living in the confidence. But right now, I'm going to pray for us because I don't want to stand here in my own confidence. That's not what this says. We're here in the confidence of because of what Christ has done and who he is. So I want to pray for all of us that we hear God's voice this morning. Father in heaven, holy is your name. And I pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in our hearts as it is in heaven. Father, help us to hear your word. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. We love you because Jesus, you first loved us. Holy Spirit, you live in us. We pray all this in your good, holy, loving name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're getting ready to dig in. If you're joining us online, I'm thrilled that you're here. Hey, we've got sermon notes, online Bible, and an online host in the chat. If you've got any questions or want someone to pray with you, you can find them there. We'd love to see you in person next week. Same thing, Commons and FLC. We've got words on the screen. As always, if you've got your Bible, it's a great place to go. Go ahead and pull out your sermon notes and join me in 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 7. Follow along as I read. God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. The word of the Lord. All right. As the famous theologian Tina Turner once said, what's love got to do with it? Love has everything to do with it. And another phrase that people will say a lot is, God is love, God is love, God is love. And believe it or not, John would agree with you. God is love. But before we get there, John wants to clarify. He wants to tell you that love is from God. Love is from God. That is where it begins. That is where it starts. And as a wise man once said, where you start many times determines where you end. John says it this way. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. We're going to talk about this a little later, but John is using two different tenses of a word for love, and he wants us to know that the essence the beginning, the start of love is God. In other words, you could say love begins with God. I use that word intentionally, begins, because in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. God, in his person, he is perfect. In the beginning, God was perfectly holy, perfectly just, perfectly good, perfectly true, perfectly love. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. John talks all the time about love, right? His gospel, his book, love, 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 love. I think this might be why he begins his gospel by riffing off of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, perfectly God. It all begins with him. Love begins with God. That means love doesn't begin with culture. It doesn't begin with humanity. We have this temptation to define love by ourselves, by culture. And the problem is we tend to twist or change, distort the view of love. John knew this. John was able to look out in his world in the first century and see different distorted views of love. He could see the Roman world. The Roman world would define love as loyalty or transaction, right? We have to love because of family connection, because of societal relationships. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. Love becomes a transaction. But John says, no, love isn't just transactional. False teachers, we talked last week, and maybe some Greek philosophers would say that love is an idea, a concept. And as long as we have this secret knowledge, we know this idea of love, we know the right things. John says, love is never just an idea. Love is action. Love is action. And if love is action, John says, love is, by definition, self-sacrificing. The words that John is playing with are agape and agapeo. Love, the essence of love is from God, but also love is self-sacrificing. It's action that sacrifices. So if that's true, John says, love, if you want to know what love looks like, love is revealed in Jesus. Love is revealed in Jesus. He says, love is revealed. He actually says it this way. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. That God sent his only son into the world. This is how we know what love looks like. Love is revealed in Jesus. And as awkward as it is for me and for you, that means that love doesn't begin with you. Like, it's kind of funny to me almost what John says. In this is love, not that we have loved God. You know what John's saying? You're terrible to love. You can't even love God. Like, we just aren't good at it. We don't define love by ourselves. It's not where it begins. But we, kind of like John's culture, we have our own distorted views of love, right? We can look out, whether it's Hallmark or Hollywood or social media, we can see that many times our world defines love by acceptance, by affirmation, tolerance, or self-expression. And many times, if I'm honest, we do the same thing. I do the same thing. That's why I love this C.S. Lewis quote. He says, love is not affectionate feeling. Okay, it is, but it's more than that, right? It's a steady wish for a loved person's ultimate good as far as it can be attained. I love that. A steady wish for the loved person's ultimate good. Self-sacrificing love. In other words, if you want to know what love looks like, John says specifically, love is Jesus's sacrifice. He loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And you might say, Sam, I'm sorry, propiti what? That sounds like a difficult word. Yes, it's a difficult word to pronounce. I practiced. It's also a difficult concept. It's a difficult word, but it's a difficult concept. The Roman world, they did not understand and they did not live out propitiation. The Greeks did not totally understand, did not live out propitiation. Even God's people, the Israelites, struggled to live out this idea. So I'm just going to say, the next 1 or 2 minutes, hang with me. It might be a little hard, but we're all going to stick together as we look at an infographic. Yes. Go back with me through the mists of time to the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement called Yom Kippur. Here's the problem. Sinful people can't hang out with the holy God. And so God makes a way for that to happen. One day a year on the Day of Atonement, there was a three-step process. First of all, the lamb is chosen. A perfect lamb from Bethlehem was chosen. And then step two, the lamb is sacrificed as a sin offering. Step three, the high priest would bring the blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. This was a covering, atonement for 1 year, so that a sinful people could live with a holy God. John says, do you want to know what love looks like? It's Jesus's sacrifice. Jesus is the lamb that was slain. We actually sang that this morning. Righteous one shed his blood to prove to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ be lifted up. Jesus is the lamb, his sacrifice for us. You might be thinking, this is the gospel. Yes, this is the gospel. I think it's funny. John, twice in this passage, he basically paraphrases himself. He's like, you know, as a wise person once said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, this is the gospel, that Jesus died for you. That's what love looks like. Jesus came so that we could see him. He walked among us. He died. That's what love looks like. Love was born. Love walked. Love talked. Love died. Love rose. Love has a name. His name is Jesus. But John's not done. He says, yes, Jesus is the picture of love, and also our love reveals God's love. Our love reveals God's love. John says it this way. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Key phrase, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. There's another word that we don't use that often. It's a little weird in our modern world today. But before anything else, John wants you to know that you are beloved. You are the beloved of God. Before he asks you to do something, he wants you to know who you are. You are loved. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say you are a saint, even though you are. He doesn't say you are a sinner saved by grace, even though you are. He doesn't say you are a Christian if you've put your faith in Jesus, even though you are. He says, you are beloved. Twice in this passage, 6 times in the book. You are loved by God. That's critical because he's going to ask us to do something. And you have to know who you are. You are the beloved of God. And this is where it gets really interesting because you are the beloved of God. And yet John says God is invisible. He's just paraphrasing what Paul says. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. But John says, no one has ever seen God, which makes me laugh. The Bible is so honest sometimes, right? No one has ever seen God. Anybody seen God? Anybody? 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 Anybody seen God? Anybody? No? Yeah, me either. No one has seen God. Which is kind of hard if you think about it. Your best friend, your spouse, someone that you love deeply says, from now on, we can't talk face to face, no video conferencing, no pictures, only email. Let's go one more. Have you ever wished that you could see God? Ever wished that you could hear his voice? Has God ever felt invisible? That's hard. The Bible is so honest. No one has ever seen God. And yet Peter wants to give you some encouragement. Because the Apostle Peter says, though you have not seen him, Jesus, you love him. Though you do not now see Jesus, you believe in him and rejoice with joy. Yes, you have not seen the Father and you have not seen Jesus, but yet you believe in him with eyes of faith and you're filled with joy. And that's why it's so critical. God is invisible, and yet John says God's love becomes visible through us. God's love becomes visible through you and me. I went to a really small Christian school. There was a teacher there. His name was Steve Warden. And Steve was my history teacher, my Bible teacher, my drama director, and later became the soccer coach. Did I say it was a really small school? Yeah, it's kind of like ECS, small but awesome. Anyway, I remember Steve one day in class, he said, proof of the resurrection is important. Historical proof, biblical proof, it's important. But for some people, your life might be the first and only proof of the resurrection they ever see. Your life might be the love of God that they experience in the flesh. That's made visible for the first and possibly only time. God's love is visible through us. But John isn't done yet. He says, not only is God's love visible, God's love is completed in us. The ESV says perfected, which is a weird word for me because then I wonder, wait a minute, are you saying that God's love is imperfect? No, we've already said that, right? God in himself, in his being, is perfectly holy, perfectly good, perfectly true, perfectly loving. It's not that God's love is imperfect. So John, what are you saying? I think he's saying that God's love is completed. God's love is finished. When I see that word perfect, I think sometimes he's talking about moral perfection. But no, he's saying it's completed. Let me explain it another way. When Jesus died, rose again, spilled his blood to save us, was the goal for us to spend eternity in heaven with him? We all say yes and amen. Was that the only goal? No. The purpose of God's love in Jesus was to transform you from the inside so that God's love spills out, so that you become a conduit for God's love. God's love was never meant to stop with you. God's love was meant to flow through you to others. And when it does, God's love is finished, completed, perfected in you. God's love. And Jesus knew this. Jesus knew this. He said to his disciples, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In other words, God's love is completed in us when it flows through us to one another. And hopefully, love then gives us confidence. And you might be saying, Sam, wait a minute, I've been tracking with you the love thing so far, but I'm looking ahead in the text and I don't see the word confidence, like help me understand where you're going here, fair question, John says it this way. By this we know. Stop right there. We know. Again, this is not like I have the right facts in my head. We know, we relationally know at a root core level in the same way that I know my wife. We know. This is confidence language. We know and we abide. We put down roots. We don't move in Jesus and he in us. This is confidence language. Because he has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. In other words, confidence comes from God. By God, I mean confidence comes from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who from the beginning are the essence of love, who in Jesus have shown us what love looks like. Confidence comes from God. It's right there in the text. You almost miss it. You see that all three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How? Love gives us confidence because the Father sent. He had so much love that he sent his one and only Son. Love gives us confidence because the Son saved. He gave his life for you and me. Love gives us confidence because the Spirit abides. He will not move. He is rooted and he lives in me and in you. Love gives us confidence. Also, seeing Jesus in you gives us confidence. Did you notice the pronouns? They're all plural pronouns. It's not I, me, it's we, us. And for me, this is always true. Like when I hear someone share a story of life change, like I know what I've experienced. But when I hear about your life and how the love of God has changed you in a deep way and now you live in a different way, your motivations have been shifted, what you want has changed. That encourages my faith. That encourages us. Actually, if you want to see this, come back at 2 p.m. You've got a group of people that know the Father sent the Son. They know, have experienced the salvation of Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives in them. And so they're gonna go into the pool because they have died to themselves, died to sin, and now they live for Jesus. 2 p.m. Seeing Jesus in you gives us confidence. But for the rest of us, maybe you've already been baptized. And you're like, but Monday's coming. What does that mean for Monday? I think that confidence is living our testimony. John says, we have seen and we testify. And obviously he's talking about the apostles, but love is action, right? Love is action. Love is self-sacrifice. So I think what John is saying is it's the way that we live. The way that we live with one another becomes our testimony. Again, you want to come back next week. Pastor Josh is going to dig into this verse. We love because he first loved us. You know, as we're going through this whole study, I keep thinking of a man who used to live one street over from me until he passed away a few years ago. He probably had an opinion about you and he would tell other people on the street about it. And maybe you had an opinion about him too, I don't know. He had a disability, which meant he couldn't drive. And so he delivered papers in our neighborhood until he was an older man. He also had a lazy eye. And he had a deep love for baseball and specifically the Chicago Cubs. And when he found out that my wife was also a fan of the Cubs, he dug into his collection and gave her this 2016 World Series champions hat. Go Cubbies. He had a dog that he won in a raffle and he named it Chance. He had a very, very large tortoise that he named Hercules and it lumbered around his backyard in the summer months. Yes, he was an odd duck. He wasn't a mean man, but he was difficult. He wasn't bad. He just didn't know when conversations were over. You know what I mean? I would see him coming down the sidewalk with his dog, and sometimes I would sneak back into the house I suddenly had the urge to check my mail from inside the house. You ever done that? Yeah? You suddenly remember that you have an appointment that you forgot about? Because sometimes people are hard to love. But John doesn't let me off the hook. He says, if Jesus loves you, you ought to love one another. So I went over to his house and he opened the door just as far so the dog wouldn't get out. And I said, hey, would you be willing to come over next week and have dinner with us? And he said, yes. We had hamburgers, French fries, and cold pop because he was definitely the meat and potatoes kind of guy. We came over and we ate. And after dinner, we did what we do a lot of times. We read some Bible, we prayed, and I decided to sing that day. Yes, Jesus loves me. And I looked over to my left, and there he was sitting with a big smile on his face, singing along with us. Yes, Jesus loves me. John says no one has ever seen God, and that's true. I've never seen him. But there have been moments in my life where I have seen the love of God made visible. Yes, Jesus loves me. Not because I had some vision, not because I'm a loving person, because I'm not. But because some ordinary people who were trying to follow Jesus decided to try to love some guy in their neighborhood who wasn't that lovable. And God says, if you want to know what love looks like, look to Jesus. Look to God himself. God the Father loved the world and sent his only Son. The Son died in your place. The Holy Spirit abides in us. The Bible tells me so. The world has never seen God. The world can see the love of God through his children. Who around you is difficult to love? A coworker? A friend? A neighbor? A family member? Maybe a face is coming to mind. Who around you is difficult to love? It's not an easy question. And how can you make God's love visible to them? And you say, Sam, you don't understand. Like, this person is difficult. You don't realize my situation. It doesn't seem like it's solvable. And you're right. I don't understand. I don't know, but God does. And so I just have to ask, who around you is difficult to love? And how can you make God's love visible to them? Because that's when God's love is finished in us. It's when it changes us from the inside and transforms us so much that we love one another as Jesus loved us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are love. You've shown us what love looks like. Jesus, you are love. You've walked, you've talked, you've lived, you've died for us. And now you're asking us to make your love visible. The world can't see you, Lord, but it can see us, your children. And so I'm praying, help us this week. Help me to have your love. Lord, I'm not good at it. I struggle. I continue to struggle to not be so selfish. God, I have a feeling that some of us aren't that much different. So as you send us out this week into the world, into your world, I'm praying that your love would just spill out. When it's easy, when it's hard, Help us to remember, God, we don't love because people are easy to love. We love because you first loved us. And so we pray this in the perfect, holy, loving name of Jesus. Amen.